God's Word. We're in Revelation, the 17th chapter, and we might go to the 18th chapter. I'll see how far we can go. And we'll see. Brother Bill, I know you have a question. Let's see if it works in with what we got.
You know, in the old Bible, you did burn offering. It's an act of faith.
Yes.
Do they wait? Do they went to heaven right then when they died?
No.
Jesus?
No. Nobody in the Old Testament went to heaven. No one.
Okay.
Heaven was not procured for them yet.
So they were. Where were they at?
They went to Sheol.
Sheol.
The place called Abraham's bosom. Nobody got to go to heaven until Jesus died and was raised again.
And then he will judge them like he judged us, right?
They're with him in heaven today. When he went back to heaven, he took all of them. He emptied Sheol, paradise side of Sheol, Abraham's bosom, and took all of them to heaven with him. Okay? Let's have a word of prayer. And we'll dive into the book of Revelation. Brother Mike, it's good to have you here this morning. Do you feel like coming up here and leading us in prayer this morning, brother?
Father God, we thank you for these teachers that you have given us. We pray for their health and their family's health, especially Marilyn. Father, we just cherish these moments that we have to learn your word and what your intentions are going to be for us in the future. We ask that you forgive us those sins that we commit against you and continue to change our minds so that we will learn your will. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Mike.
Take one more John over here to make sure this thing is working.
Hopefully. Brother Mike, did we, or not Mike, but Brother,
yes, I understand.
Brother Bill, did I answer your question?
You know, you did. You know,
nobody in the Old Testament went to heaven. They only went to paradise at what we call Abraham's bosom.
Jesus died on the cross.
Until Jesus Christ died on the cross, their salvation was not procured. It was not paid for. In space and time, God had become flesh. Live a perfect life, die on the cross of Calvary, be raised from the dead, and when all of that was done, then they got to go to heaven.
When Jesus comes back and he raises everybody up, they'll be there too.
They're there now.
They are.
All of those people are there now. Christine.
That was one of the questions I was going to ask. So, Sheol is the place of departed spirits?
Yes.
And
it's also the equivalent in Greek is what?
Hades. Okay. So
Hades and Sheol, let's look at it right here real quick. This is before Christ became flesh.
Right.
Now, there's a great gulf here. Now, here's the earth. Maybe Sheol was up here. Paradise was up here, and Sheol, the place of torments, was down here. I don't know. But we know that hell are the place, hell today, this place today of torments is down under the earth. Down under. This is the earth. Okay? It's not in the earth, but it's below the earth. Down, way out there in the third heaven, below. Okay? Before Christ came, it was only a promise. Salvation was a promise. Okay? Salvation was a promise. Until Jesus Christ became flesh, until Jehovah became flesh. What is the name? Here is the word. Right there. That is the word what? That's the word Jehovah. Okay? We say that word, but we don't know how to say it because we cannot say it. It's what we call Ha the Bar. Ha. The bar in Hebrew. That means the word. Now, John 1 and 1 says, in beginning was the Ha the Bar, the word, the Jehovah. Jehovah means, it comes from a Greek verb root, which is this one right here on page 224 and 243. If you look that up, that means to become. And the name Jehovah means the one who shall become. If you ever encounter a Jehovah's Witness, have them read you their pet verse from the book of Isaiah, where it says, "Ye are my witness, I am the Lord God, I am the only God, there is no other besides me." Okay? And it's talking about Jehovah. I was listening to Charles Stanley the other day preach two or three different times, and he's real mixed up on who the person of God is. He kept saying, God the Father is Jehovah, and Jesus is the Messiah. Well, that's what the Jehovah say, witnesses say. He kept saying that over and over and over again. I said, man, how's this man missing the ball? He's a great preacher and everything else, but you need to realize that Jehovah is Jesus Christ, not God the Father. Okay? Jehovah is not God the Father. Jehovah is Jesus Christ. Now, we have God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's a triune God.
One God.
One God. But the only God you're ever going to see is Jehovah, the one who became flesh. He is a material, physical expression of God. The invisible God. The Holy Spirit is invisible. The Father is invisible. Mike there, he has a body, he has a soul, and he has a spirit. You can't see his soul and you can't see his spirit, but you can see his body. Jason, you've got a body, you've got a soul, and you've got a spirit. What part do we see? The body. That's real simple. God made man in his image. Okay? Period. Now, God the Father is Jehovah only as he is part of the triune God. Jesus is Jehovah. He is the one who shall become. He is the one that did become. And the promise of salvation stood all the way from eternity past. It says, Jesus Christ stood as a lamb slain from before the foundation, before anything was created, before the blueprints were drawn. God already had figured out how he was going to save mankind. Period. Okay? But only in space and time did the salvation was paid for and procured. It was a promise until the cross of Calvary. At the cross of Calvary, his death paid for our sins, but we are not justified until he was resurrected. So until the resurrection of Christ, now the Jehovah Witnesses have the Archangel Michael becoming flesh in a man, and then he dies, and they put him in the grave, and I don't know what happens to him. That's all messed up. But it's just almost messed up. It says, but God the Father is Jehovah and Jesus Christ is his Messiah. That's not the truth. That's not the Bible. That's not what the Bible teaches. Okay, the Bible teaches that Jehovah is Jesus Christ, the one who shall become. And until space and time, when he became flesh, lived, and died, and rose again, our salvation was not paid for. It was a promise, and it was a promise based upon the Word of God, but it wasn't paid for. God does everything legitimately. Okay? So they were in a holding place called Sheol. And paradise was on one side called Abraham's bosom. On the other side was a place of torment. Okay? And when these people, now when Jesus Christ died, he went down here. There are many references. If you study my class on the doctrine of hell, you will get all of what I'm telling you right here. Jesus Christ went here. He went to hell. He went to Hades. He went to Sheol, and he preached to these people down there. And we find out from the book of Peter, one of Peter's writings, that he preached to those that were disobedient in the days of Noah. They didn't get on the ark, but they both believed and they were saved outside the ark. Many of them got saved when it started raining and the water started flowing. Judgment started coming. It's a type of what's going to happen in the tribulation period. There are many people going to be saved at that period of time too. As in the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Okay. So when Jesus Christ went down there, when he rose, he took those with him. And he took them to heaven. Because now the purchase price was paid for. Their atonement was efficacious. It's done. Okay? And so he took them with him. Of course, he left the place of torments here. Now, today, when somebody goes to hell, they go to here. It's not really hell. It's Hades. Or it's Sheol. The final eternal hell is the lake of fire in the end, when all of the people are resurrected out of here and put in their unglorified bodies, but their bodies are going to be like asbestos. Now, there are degrees in hell and degrees in heaven. Not everybody in heaven is going to be the same. Not everybody in hell is going to be the same. It's according to what you've done. What you do after you're saved is very important. Okay? All right. Are we ready to go to Revelation now?
Yes.
Okay, you got that down? Got it. All right.
I want
to say one other thing on top of this. Brother Bill's been dealing with the Church of Christ, brethren. They say that their name at the Church of Christ, that's the name of God's church. They don't know enough grammar. The Churches of Christ is in the genitive case, which is a case of possession. It's not in the nominative case, which is the name, or that is the subject, but it's in the genitive case. The churches of Christ, belonging to Christ, which were in Ephesus and Rome and Jerusalem and all over the place. That's not a name. It's not a name. It is a possession, case of possession. Of course, you're not going to convince them of that because they want to believe what they're believing. And baptismal regeneration and all of that. Okay, now, we've got war on our hands. Turn on the news. You turn on the television and you see there's war on your... we've got war all over. There's war all over. War, war, war. Fighting, killing, murdering. People delight in killing each other, seemed like. All right? Well, the seed of God, which is Jesus Christ, and the seed of Satan are at war in Revelation the 17th and 18th chapter. We've been getting little shots of it all the way. We have a complete migration. We've had a complete migration of wealth. The richest people in the Western nations are the ones that control everything. Go back to Revelation the 6th chapter, verse 5 through 8. Somebody run up here with Revelation 6, 5 through 8 for me real quick. Revelation 6, 5 through 8. Revelation 6, 5. You got that. Well, good to have you here, young lady.
If I can read it.
All right, Sharon. All right. Revelation 6, 5 through 8.
When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the living creature say, "Come." And I looked, and there before me was a black horse. His rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, "A quarter of wheat for a day's wages, and 3 quarts of barley for a day's wages. And do not damage the oil and wine." When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." And I looked, there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death and Hades, and was following... Death and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth.
All right. Now, we've already covered that in Revelation 6th chapter, but the book of Revelation will make a statement. It'll come back. It'll make a statement and come back. Let me read you what Spyro Zodiote said about this. I don't agree with everything he says, but this is a pretty good statement. These two chapters, Revelation 17:1 through 18:24, these two chapters elaborate on Babylon, called the great whore which sets upon many waters. She is also called the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. She appears as a great persecutor because she is said to be drunk with the blood of the saints and of the martyrs. Babylon appears as religious, but is actually contrasted with the true saints of God as a filthy woman who is clothed in purple, scarlet, gold, precious stones, and pearls. The true church of Christ is not Babylon, but the bride of Christ. It is interesting to note that Babylon in Revelation 18 is both a city and a system. Now, Babylon is corrupt religion. It's what it is. Babylon is a religio-economic, governmental, national governmental system. One world church, one world government. Now, there are many, many views of how and what is going to happen at this period of time. The Western nations are going to be behind Israel. the Antichrist will be Israel's Christ. They will accept the Antichrist as her Christ. The Antichrist is going to be a real person, not a figment of imagination. Satan is real, isn't he? Do you believe that he's just a boogeyman or just a spook? He's real. He's real and he's powerful. And he is in power of the world today. All of the bad things that happen in the world today is not God's fault, it's Satan's fault. Satan is a fallen angel. His name was Hillel. Say Hillel. Hillel means what? The shining one. The Latin word for that is Lucifer. The modern word for Hillel or Lucifer is Luke. Okay? Now, somebody named Luke, don't be afraid. Your name is not bad because Lucifer is a good name. Lucifer, a Lucere, is Latin, okay? And it means shining one. Nothing bad about that. But he became not the shining one, but the darkness. Darkness. He was a carrier of light. Then he became the carrier and the mother and the father and the originator of all darkness. This religio-economic national governmental system is under his power. This is his mama. This is his wife. The bride of Christ is the churches of the true churches of the Lord Jesus Christ in the world today. The true churches of the Lord Jesus Christ have never persecuted any other religion. America was dead set and on its way to become a church-state system. Did you know that? How many of you knew that? If you took my church history classes, you knew that. There's 26 church history classes on Sermon Audio and Discover the Word with DrJim.com, and there's also 16 videos, which are an abbreviated form of those 26 classes. Tells you all about that. False religion has always murdered the truth. From the garden, when Abel was slew by Cain. Cain was the originator of the first anti-God, anti-Christ religious system. He wanted to serve God his way. And his God was God of work. He was the first one that went out when he took one of his sisters, cousins, or somebody as his wife, and he went out into the land of Nod. And God cursed him doubly because of him. Now, Adam had been cursed because he had taken and stolen the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil from God's tree. And the ground was cursed. That's why you have goat heads and stickers and sand burrs and cockleburrs and every other thing out there, careless weeds and foxtails and every noxious plant is because of what Adam did in the garden. But Cain, when he sinned, God doubly cursed him, and he said the ground is cursed twice. So Cain was a farmer, wasn't he? So he went out, and since the ground was cursed doubly, he couldn't make a living. Or it would be hard for him to make a living. So Cain invented slavery. He was the one that had been a slavery. He enslaved other people. That whole group of people, that whole DNA pool of people is gone. They're not in the world today. People keep getting that mixed up. That happened way over yonder, way over here. All of those people were dead. None of them lived through the flood. We have another Cain after the flood. Canaan. His name is Cain also. Cain means what in the Bible? In Hebrew, Cain. Cain means what? Brother Abe, you remember what Cain means? Cain. Cain. What? Possession. Gotten. All right, gotten or possession. Now let's go to this religio-economic travesty. This harlot of Revelation. Contrasted with Christ's bride. She is in total control of all the money and all the economic system. The church and the state have become one all the way down through the ages. Will you see how powerful the Catholic Church became? The Catholic Church was this monstrosity in the Dark Ages. The Catholic Church, if you trace them back, you know, they say they go all the way back to Peter.
They do. They go all the way back to Peter, but when they get back to about 300 AD, they become Baptist. And they didn't worship Peter, and they didn't have any popes before that either. There was no such thing. You go back there, you get back in between, you get up to about 250, 300 AD, and every Christian was a primitive Christian, which are called Baptist, period. That's what they all are in practice and faith. They were all Baptists back at that period of time. And Baptists existed alongside of that harlot, and that harlot became drunk with the blood of God's churches all the way through. And, of course, in about 600 A.D., guess what else happens? We have another false religious system that comes upon the scene by some other man that was demonically inspired, and his name was Muhammad. And we have Islam. And Islam began to do exactly like Mama did. He took a lot of things from her. Muhammad had the book of Luke read to him. He couldn't read or write. And he took out things out of the Bible that he liked, and then he began to recite and rewrite the whole Old Testament according to his favor, according to his demonic revelations. And that's what we call the Quran today. Okay? If you want to see the Quran, I got one of them. I read it. I had one student one time that could quote the whole Quran. One of my students could quote the whole Quran and quote most of the Hebrew Old Testament too. That was Jerry. He was in my class. You listen to the book of Ephesians and Colossians when he was in my class, and you'll hear him going from the Quran and from the Hebrew Bible. All right. Anyway, we've always had persecution. The fulfillment of this harlot, these two false economic religio systems, Islam and Catholicism, coexisted, beating each other up for hundreds of years, didn't they? Fighting across the Mediterranean Lake, if you want to call it that, is zip, 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 zip. Back and forth, killing each other, murdering. Now, in the end times, we're going to have this same system. The Islam is looking for a Messiah. He's going to be born of a woman. Okay? He's going to have all the attributes of the Antichrist. They're looking for that. The Jews are looking for that. Here we got the Jews and the Arabs fighting all the time, don't we? Just constantly fighting. Let's see if I can sit down for a minute, since I'm about to fall down. I won't have to fall so far from here. Anyway, Islam is looking for their Messiah. The Jews are looking for the Messiah. And the Pope, and the Catholics have the Pope. Now, what if they rolled all of these systems up into one? And they had a guy that could get along with everybody. You know, Islam is so powerful today that not even the Catholic Church will, I guess I'm the only one brave enough to insult them. Because I don't have good enough sense. I lived dangerously all my life. But the Pope won't say anything publicly bad about Islam. Or Mohammed. He's afraid to. And when he did a couple of times, guess what he had to do? He had to publicly apologize for that. But what if you could get all those systems together? What if you could get them together and roll them up into one ungodly harlot? Now, we had a guy come and speak at our church 5 or 6, 7 years ago. I don't know how long ago. He was supposedly a converted terrorist. Remember the guy, Walid Shimon? Anyway, he says that Islam is going to be this false system. That is coming out of Islam. Islam is going to be the one. But it's talking about the Jews accepting their Messiah. Maybe it could be a combination of all of these things. He keeps saying, you know, you guys are looking for all one. You're looking for the Jews. He said, the Jews, their Messiah is not going to be that Messiah. But the Bible calls him the Antichrist. And Israel, and this Antichrist is going to make a covenant with Israel, and he's going to build them a temple. And they're looking for the Messiah to build them a temple. It's going to happen. All right, you can... make donations to that temple today online. You go to the Temple of Israel. You got the Temple Mount people going over there wanting to have all of these sacrifices and everything again. The only people over there are really having sacrifices today are who? Who are the ones making sacrifice today? They always did. They never did quit making sacrifices. Every year, the Samaritans. All right. Mount Gerizim. All right. They're still doing that up on that mountain. Israel will have sacrifices, according to the book of Revelation. Israel's going to be real happy for about 3.5 years, the first 3.5 years of this tribulation period. They're going to have their temple. They're going to have their service. They're going to be very important. So whatever happens, Israel's going to be part of it. All the nations that are behind Israel today, the Western Bloc nations, will be in the hands of this Antichrist. They're all in his hands. Okay? That's who they are. Not Russia. Now, Russia has a great, big Islamic populace. China does. Korea. Every place. Islam is all over. Okay? What if all of these people just got together and buried the hatchet, so to speak, and had one world leader, which would be the Antichrist, which is going to be the world leader. And the Antichrist is going to be the physical expression of Satan, Lucifer, when he became Satan. God, Satan is a copycat, is he not? Every time God does something, Satan goes and copycats it and makes a confusion. Babylon means what? Babylon means what? What does Babylon mean? You know, Brother Jason?
Something about confusion.
Confusion. Yeah. Babylon means confusion. Babylon the Great, confusion. People in the world today are so religiously confused that they don't know what to do. They don't know what to do. They don't know which way to turn. They don't know what the truth is. They don't know. The world's looking for an answer. Do you know what the answer is? Jesus Christ. Not the false Messiah. But the world is going to have a false Messiah, and he's going to get all these Western nations together. He's going to have a one world religio-economic system. Okay? Now, Revelation, when Sharon got up here and read Revelation, the 6th chapter there, it talked about the prices of everything. The religious economic system is going to be in the hands of one man. Satan will cohabit with a woman, and that person could be, and that progeny could be in the world today. That child could be in the world today, coming up in politics, coming up in religion. He could be in the world today. There's going to be a place. God impregnated a woman named Mary. Did he not? She really lived in a little place called Nazareth. She really lived there. She was a real woman. She wasn't some angelic being. She was a woman. God impregnated her with his seed, which is the eternal God, Jehovah. Jehovah was born in space and time, and Jehovah procured our salvation. Now, Satan will impregnate a woman. His Messiah, his seed, will be at war with God's seed, Jesus Christ. Now, we know who's going to win, don't we? But I'm going to tell you, you have to get Satan an A-plus for effort. Because that boy is flat getting with it. All right? Let's read here in the book of Revelation a little bit. And one of the seven angels had the seven bowls and came and spoke with the saying, Come here and I shall show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters. This harlot is his false religious system. Satan has a harlot for a wife. She's a harlot because every one of the false religious systems are going to combine into one. One.
Every one of them is a harlot. Christ's harlot needs to. Christ's bride is not a harlot. She needs to be pure and chaste. All right? Pure and chaste. Now, this harlot sets on many waters. What are the waters there? The word mayim in Hebrew is lots of drops. That's what mayim means. An ocean is a mayim. It's a lot of drops of water. Okay? And a stream is a mayim. It's a lot of drops of water. Now, the waters here means people. Many peoples. With whom the kings of the earth, they have committed acts of immorality. Now, how they've done is they've married to this church-state system. They're at one. This church and state have become one. And those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her immorality. Now, there's a lot of moral people in the world. But they may as well be out drinking and harloting and everything else because they're going to hell. They're believing in a false god, a false religious system. All false religious systems are harlots. All of them. I don't care how pure and pristine they look, they're harlots. The Lord Jesus Christ gave us one system of teaching, one faith, one Lord, what? One baptism. And Satan confused that, Babylon. Confused it. The Mormon church baptizes for dead people. Baptism, you baptize a person that is alive. Okay? That's pretty good. They've got to be alive to be baptized because they have to make a conscious profession of faith. Period. Pedobaptists baptize babies. And they have godmothers and godfathers. Because the babies cannot make a profession of faith. So they make a profession of faith for them. And then when they get up, so far, up to 12 or 13 years old or so, they have to take their first communion and they confirm what their godfathers and godmothers said. That's all false religious systems. I don't care how pretty and how cute it is. It's false religion. They were made drunk with the wine of her morality. And he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness. And I saw a woman sitting on scarlet beast, full of blasphemous names, having seven heads and ten horns. On this scarlet beast, this red beast. This beast is a Therion. That word Therion means a swift-moving killing machine. Like a leopard. Like a cheetah. Like a great white shark. Alright? That's like a great white shark. A killing, eating, devouring machine. And standing on a beast full of a scarlet beast full of blasphemous names and having seven heads and ten horns. The writing of Mary Baker Eddy are blasphemy. The writings of Judge Rutherford are blasphemy. The writings of Charles Taze Russell are blasphemy. The writings of Herbert Armstrong are blasphemy. All of these, the writings of Joseph Smith are blasphemy. Because it's perverting, twisting, and confusing and devouring the souls of people by the millions. Devouring their souls. You can kill a person's body and you kill them, they kill the body. But they're killing their souls or destroying their souls, putting them into eternal hell. And the woman was clothed in purple and scarlet. She's rich. I mean, this girl's got all kinds of money. She's got power, she's got beauty, and she's adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a cup, a gold cup full of abominations. Everything that she's got, she's gotten by false premises. People ask me, where did purgatory get its start? That's when the Catholic Church wanted more money. So they invented the doctrine of purgatory. Where did the doctrine of plenary indulgence? Where did the doctrine of confession come from? That's when they wanted more money, more money, more money, more money. Where did the doctrine of Mariolatry come from? We see all of these things. Right out of the hat, Pandora's box of
abomination and of unclean things and her immorality. And upon her forehead a name was written, Mystery, of Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of this earth. On her forehead she's named. Now the priest in Israel had a little band around their head, and it was a golden band, and it had holiness to the Lord. Holiness to the Lord. Holy to the Lord. Now these here, it says abominations. Abominations. Verse number 6, and I saw a woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered greatly. And the angel said to me, Why do you wonder? I shall tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast, and that carries her, and which has the seven heads and the ten horns. Who's the beast? Who is the beast? It's the Antichrist, but who is he? Who's empowering him? Satan. Satan empowers every one of the false religious systems on this earth. Every one. Even what we call in evangelical Christendom, we have a lot of false religion. Well, a lot of false belief. Even in Baptist churches, traditions become dogma, and dogma becomes Bible. After a while, we need to really discriminate between what's truth and what's not, because Satan is even at work in God's churches. If you don't believe that, just read 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John in the book of Jude. They were battling that back then. And these were in true churches. We need to be careful what's pawned off on us as truth. Verse number 8, And the beast that you saw was and is not, and is about to come up out of the abyss and go into the destruction. Now what do you think this is talking about? Just put your little thinking hats on. What did Jesus Christ do when he came? He lived. What happened? He was killed. Okay. He died. He was buried. Was he not? And what else happened? The triune God raised him from the dead. He was resurrected. What do you think this make-believe Messiah is going to do? He's going to get killed. He's going to be buried. And that Satan's going to raise him, just like this is a false Messiah. Antichrist means instead of Christ. And everything that Christ did, we can look for. Christ was born of a woman. Born under the law. Satan's child will be born of a woman. A lawless one. Christ was born of a woman according to the law. Satan's child is born of a woman, an outlaw. Regardless. Angels were not permitted to marry. But some angels did marry. Some angels did procreate. And we have a race of Nephilim in the Bible. Revelation the 6th chapter, Genesis the 6th chapter. We have them all the way before the flood and after the flood. That's the dudes that when Joshua and Caleb went into the promised land, they went over there by Hebron and they said, there's a whole lot of them over there. According to the book of Enoch, some of those Nephilim were hundreds of feet tall before the flood. When those bad witnesses, bad spies went in, you know what we call the 10 disobedient spies, they went in there and they said, we're grasshoppers in their sight. They're big. You know what Joshua and Caleb said? Give me that mountain where those giants live. I'll clean them out with Jehovah's help. I'll clean them out. That's where the tomb of Abraham is, by the way. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they had that mountain. They had that tomb. It was under their possession. Those rascal Islamic people today have got the tomb. I've been there. I've been to that tomb. I've been to Abraham's tomb in Machpelah. Machpelah means the double-mouthed tomb. Machpelah. All right? Let's go on a little bit further. Is this interesting to you? This is pretty good stuff today. Now, the beast you saw was and is not. He's going to die. He's going to go to the abyss, and Satan's going to raise him just like Christ. He's about to come up out of the abyss and to go into destruction. Yeah, he's going to go into destruction. He's going to go to the final lake of fire. He's going to be one of the first visitors in the final lake of fire, isn't he? Yeah, first residents. And those who dwell on the earth will wonder whose name was not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. And when they see the beast that he was and is not and shall come. Here is a mind which is wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains. What does mountains stand for in the Bible? Hebrew is Har. All right, Har. Okay? Mountains stand for governments. Governments. Seven governments on which the woman sits. Seven great governments this woman's going to set upon. And there are seven kings. Five have fallen. One is, and the other has not yet come. When he comes, he shall remain for a little while. This is talking about all these. Go back to the book of Daniel. Daniel tell you about this, what's going to happen. You know, a long time ago, Daniel wrote all kinds of things about this. And the beast which was and is not, is himself the eighth ruler, the final ruler, and is one of the seven, and he goes to destruction. If indeed Islam and Catholicism and all of the false religions of the world are combined in this, what a great harlot. And the ten horns which you saw are ten kings. More nations, more ten kings, who have not yet received a kingdom, but they are received authority as the kings with a beast for 1 hour. These are what we call sub-satellite nations. Now, who was the nation that invented satellite governments? Who was the one that did that? Who was the first procreator of these sub-governments, little governments, Sharon?
Nineveh.
Nineveh. Nineveh invented flush toilets. They invented plumbing in houses. They invented irrigation. They invented a pretty good sanitary system for the system that they lived in at that time. They invented these satellite governments under princes. That's what this is going to be. They invented money and banking system, and also they invented locks and keys. For 1 hour. And these have no purpose. These have one purpose, that is. And they give their power and authority to the beast. They have one purpose. One purpose. We have the war of the worlds. Remember when Orson Welles, I know some of you won't remember this at all. Orson Welles put on the War of the Worlds on radio. And he broadcast it and had a whole, people were hysterical. People died in traffic jams. They did all kinds of stuff. Well, this is going to be the real War of the Worlds right here. One purpose and one authority. Authority to the beast. Verse number 14. These will rage war against the Lamb. We have the seed of Satan and the seed of God at war. And the Lamb will overcome them because He is the Lord. He is Adonai. Adonai Ha'alamim. That's what it says. This is a Hebraism here. It's Adonai Ha'alamim. Write that down someplace. Adonai Ha'adonaim. That is a Hebrew term. It goes back in the Old Testament. It's talking about Jehovah. And it says here that the Lamb is Jehovah, God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's who He is. You take that one to the Jehovah Witness and they can take that to their bank. The Lord of Lords and Kings of Kings and those who are with Him are the called, the elect, the chosen and the faithful. They're with Him. Who's down on the earth? We have all of these nations under the Antichrist. We have China, we have Russia, and all these people are waging war. Christ is going to come back with His armies from heaven, all riding white horses. Luka hippos. Locos hippos.
And he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples and multitudes. Remember, see, I wasn't lying to you when I told you that a while ago. A water, ma'im, means drops of water, lots of drops of water. And these people where the harlot sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages. And the ten horns which you saw and the beast, these will hate the harlot. Boy, all of a sudden they're going to turn on the religious system. They don't want any more religion. They won't want Israel anymore. They're going to destroy Israel. They're going to try to destroy her system. Israel is the system. Israel will be the leadership of this. She is going to be a leader with the Messiah, the false Messiah, because this is her Messiah. A substitute Messiah. And she will, and the system, the governments will hate the harlot and will make her desolate and naked and will eat her flesh and will burn her up with fire. They're going to kill all of the system. Now we're going to come total anarchy as far as religion goes. They're going to lose their religion. You heard about people losing their religion? They lost their religion now. It's over with. For God has put in their hearts to execute His purpose. God's eternal purpose and unpreventable progress. Look at that. By having a common purpose and by giving their kingdom to the beast until the words of God should be fulfilled. The beast will become the God of the world. The Antichrist will become the God of the world. And what period of time will this be? Can anybody tell me when this is going to happen? The very moment. Right directly in the middle of the tribulation period, right there. Look at your little charts that I handed out to you. That little chart, see that little chart right there, the middle of that? That's when the Antichrist is going to stand up. And he said, I am God. You worship me. There is no other religion but mine. You worship me. Some of them are going to worship him. That's when Israel, the ones that get saved, Israel, what is the remnant of Israel that is going to get saved will be saved in one day. In one 24-hour period, in a day, in an hour, they will realize those that aren't marked with the mark of the beast, they will realize that this is the false Messiah, and they're going to flee. They're going to run as fast as they can run. Giving their kingdom to the beast until the words of God should be fulfilled. And the woman whom you saw is a great city. The woman is the city. The city is a government. The city is a national city. Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. is the city. If you want to talk about America, you would talk about Washington, D.C. That's where the seat of America is. If you were talking about Iran or Iraq or Saudi Arabia, we'd have all national cities. That's where the city is. Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. Okay? What's the capital of Egypt? What?
Cairo.
These are the capital cities. So this will be the capital city. The Babylon the Great, she is a city. That's where she's going to reside. That's her. And the woman who you saw is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. 18th chapter now. The 18th chapter of the book of Revelation. Metatate is what it says in Greek. Metatate means what? After these things. I saw another angel coming down out of heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illumined with his glory. And he cried out with a mighty voice, saying, Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, and she has become a dwelling place of demons. She always was. She always was a dwelling place of demons. But it has become plain in view now, and a prison of every unclean spirit. And a prison of every unclean and hateful bird. Wing flapper. Wombly in Lakota. Wombly means wing flapper. Every wing flapper is indwelt by demon spirits.
And all the nations have been drunk with the wine of her passion and her immorality. And the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her. Every, you know, Baptists are weird animals in history. I teach Baptist history over and over again, and almost there's hardly a class that I don't tell you something about. Baptists are like cows. How many of you have ever been around cows? How many of you have ever been around sheep? If you go scare a sheep on one side of a field, Brother Mike, what will they do? They'll run plumb to the other side, won't they? That's what Baptists do. They get extremists sometimes. They are extremists sometimes, like cows and like sheep. You scare them over here and they'll run plumb to the other side. The Baptist, during the Reformation, the Reformation was warmed over Catholicism, basically. They came out of Catholicism, and Martin Luther cleaned it up to his extent, and John Calvin cleaned it up, probably did a little better job than Luther did. But all of them persecuted Baptists because they were in power. They didn't know anything but state churches. America was destined to become a state church until Baptists founded a little colony in Rhode Island, and that was the only place in the American continent where you could have freedom of religion. Every one of them, every other state, every other colony was a church state. You had, when you made money, you tithed to the church. That was your taxes. And it was a church state. And the state hired the preachers. Couldn't have any preacher except what the state said, and that's what Catholicism did in the fourth and fifth and sixth century. Over and over again. Freedom of religion for them. The Puritans wanted freedom of religion for them. Baptists said, let's try an experiment. So they went over there to King George and said, please, 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 let us found a colony with religious freedom. And they did. And that's how all the cults got started too. The cults got started because of religious freedom. They got started right here. This is where they all began, because of religious freedom. Any time that a truth happens or something like that, Satan takes advantage. Okay? Satan takes advantage. In the Constitution of the United States, the original Constitution of the United States, there is no freedom of religion. Did you know that? They were all state churches. We had to have the Bill of Rights to give you freedom of religion. They hadn't thunk that up yet. All right? They didn't think of that. As my teacher used to say, they didn't thunk that one up yet. That was an afterthought. When they realized, and that had a lot to do with Baptists, because the rest of the people wanted state churches. That's what it is. All right. Go to Germany today, you become a Lutheran. And if you're married in the Lutheran church in Germany, out of your paycheck comes the tithes to the Lutheran church. Period. Go on a little bit further. And we'll stop here. For all the nations have drunk with the wine of the passion and her immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her, and merchants of the earth have become rich, and by the wealth of her sensuality, and I have heard another voice out of heaven saying, come up out of her, my people, that you may not participate in her sins, that you may not receive her plagues. Some of the people get saved. They hear the truth. For her sins have piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Pay her back. Lex talionis in Latin. Lex talionis. That's paybacks. Lex talionis. Pay her back even as she has paid, and give back to her double according to her deeds, in the cup of which she has mixed twice as much for her. To the degree that she is glorified herself and lives sensuously, to the same degree of her torment and mourning, and she shall... For she says in her heart, I sit as a queen, and I am not a widow. I will never see mourning. For this reason, in one day her plague will come, pestilence and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire, for the Lord God who judges her is strong. Satan will turn on his own bride. Jesus Christ protects his bride, doesn't he? Satan will destroy his bride, because women don't mean anything to him. Read the book of Daniel. He'll have no desire of women. Thank you for your attention. We don't even have a prayer leader today left, do we? Nothing. Everybody's gone today. Let me see if I can stand back up, if at all possible. It may or may not happen. Do you have any prayer requests?
By the way, go out and do something eternal. I'm going to turn these things over.